Fran Napier and Doug Christie. I want to give you one footnote to what we were talking about in the first hour with the NFL. We talked about James Harrison signing with the Patriots and what Pouncey said about him today. The news on Eli Apple, who the Giants suspended, was in addition to his comment in the locker room, he refused to take the field with the scout team during practice today.
Whoa.
Insubordination that led to an argument with the assistant coaches, and thus the suspension was in place.
Wow. Unfortunate, Grant.
It's a lot of money he's given away.
Yeah. You know, see, that's where we talked about Scal and those guys going down to the G League. He's scout team. He's looking at it as a demotion and different things. That's just my take on that.
Yeah, he just got a $66,000 demotion because that's his one-game paycheck.
And see, that's where
right.
Be a professional. Handle your business. You know what? Sometimes you got to go through these things because obviously it's a learning curve that he needs to get on. Otherwise, you know what, Grant? He may not be in New York next year.
Yeah, I would say right now. Now, the problem is in sports, you know, everything comes down to money, right?
Yes, it does.
He's in the second year of a four-year, $15.1 million contract that is fully guaranteed.
Okay. So it wasn't like a big signing bonus, and then so everything is guaranteed.
His rookie contract,
yeah.
Yep.
I mean, the crazy thing is Grant last year played so well, this year has fallen off. So does another team see value in him because they think maybe a change of location? Doesn't sound like that's the big thing. Unfortunate circumstance.
What Landon Collins said on 98.7 ESPN Radio in New York. Landon Collins, Giants starting safety who broke his arm last week. Quote, "There's one corner that has to establish himself and needs to grow, and we all know who that is. That would be the only person I would change out of our secondary group. Besides the other two guys, DRC, Dominic Rogers Cromartie, for those of you that don't know, and Jackrabbit, which is Janoris Jenkins.
Right.
I love those two guys. They play hard. They love what they do. But that first pick, meaning Eli Apple, who was taken 10th in the draft, he's, and again, this is a quote, but that first pick, he's a cancer." First of all, Landon Collins is wrong for doing that. You can't go on the radio and say that. I mean,
yes.
That's just wrong.
Yes, you can't throw your teammate underneath the bus like that. Those are conversations that you want to have with your teammate, but obviously it got to the point where he feels that. Now, his retraction based upon that once he had a conversation with he and Eli and the coach was one of, "I'm going to support my teammate. I apologize for those type of comments." And I'm putting that in. I don't have the quote in front of me, but you know that was a lot more along the lines of what you need to do to support your teammate.
Well, again, if I'm the New York Giants, I just cut him and you know, I cut my losses. I would not want him anywhere near the football team. And to me, if a general manager really wants to come in and put a footprint on this team,
yeah,
immediately, that needs to happen, in my opinion. And I think it will happen. But, you know, and then you get James Harrison, who, you know, the Steeler players and Marquise Pouncey came out and ripped him and said that there are lies being said. You know, James Harrison, according to Marquise Pouncey, the Pro Bowl center of the Steelers, said, quote, "It blows my mind. He wanted that. It wasn't like the team said, like, we want to let go of James Harrison. James Harrison wanted that." I mean, it's funny to read the stories like this is something that he wanted to do. It's not like they got together and were like, well, we're going to cut James. No, that's not what happened. And he needs to come out and admit that. He said, Pouncey went on and said, like, "If you don't want to be here, just come out and say it. Don't make it look like it's the team's fault and the organization's. Like, you think the organization wanted to get rid of James Harrison? Like, let's be serious. Come on now. Trust me. If I wanted out, I wouldn't let the team take the blame for it. I tell you, I want to be gone. I want to go somewhere else and play differently. I want to go start somewhere else. That's me as a man. Like, that's what I would do. I'm not going to say the team didn't play me. I want to get cut. No, that's not what it was. I'm glad the team did respect him like that, but we're going to speak the truth. It is what it is."
Yeah, that's powerful because when I first saw that, I was more speaking to Steelers fans like they're burning jerseys and going off on Harrison. I'm saying, why are you mad at him? Because this is something that the team did. Now to hear that from someone inside the locker room that obviously has feet on the ground, they understand the situation. It's, look, if you want to be released, at least come out and say, look,
yep,
you know, it's not somewhere I wanted to be. I wasn't playing. I want to go someplace else. That in and of itself is a tough one. That's like a player just – rivalry-wise, leaving here and wanting to leave here and then and going and signing with the Lakers during that heyday of back and forth.
Offensive tackle Marcus Gilbert went to Twitter and said, "Truth will always come to light, but of course fans will jump to judgment. I get it." And then an emoji of laughing hard with tears coming down his face.
Wow. You know, when you think about that, the Steelers defense, you think about James Harrison.
Oh, absolutely.
You think about those incredible workouts that he puts on Instagram and lot of different things. And now, do you put him in the Ring of Honor or different things like that? I think that Steelers fans, this is one of those things that they might not forgive.
A lot will depend on how James Harrison handles it when that point in time comes.
Yes, I would agree with that. I mean, time does heal a lot of wounds.
Yes.
But, if it is you that wanted to leave, just come out and say, look, this is something that I wanted to do. Don't let the organization take the hit on that one.
How bad is it that he goes to New England and that looks like they're on a head-on collision for a game in the playoffs?
Grant, let me tell you. There is nothing that you can – I don't care if he wanted to leave or not. I'm not letting him go.
Right.
You can't tell me they talk about trade secrets. They know each other backwards and forwards. I don't want to hear that because there are little tiny things that only the players know. There's little hints and different things that only the players know. He is going to have – you got to think, when they meet up in the NFC in the AFC championship, Grant, you got to think that Harrison is going to make that sack. He's going to make that tackle.
He's
something
– he's a big play guy. Big game guy.
Absolutely is. That would scare me if I was a Steelers fan.
All right, so we've got those topics. And, again, Doug and I were talking about this, and we'll approach the topic with Chris Landry at 5 o'clock in the Landry Football Report. And, again, you got to be careful that you don't rush to judgment here because the NFL is a lot different than the NBA. I mean, you can really go from being really bad to really good quickly. Mm-hmm. And in the NBA, you can do that if you're fortunate enough to draft a LeBron James or a Tim Duncan, but that doesn't happen very often.
Right.
Are the 49ers right now, looking in the offseason, are they in a better position than the Oakland Raiders?
Ooh, that's a good one. Because, see, it's easy right now to look at it and go, yes, because Jimmy G's playing well,
right.
They're winning.
Right.
But when I look at it, Grant, I would say it looks like they're starting at the top. They look to be more healthy. They're more stable. Raiders are leaving. They're going to Vegas. The fan base is going to, they are Raider Nation. We go everywhere, but I'm sure that there's going to be some rumblings. We talked about the fact that if they didn't get off to a good start, which they didn't, and they faltered. Right now, you look at Jimmy G as compared to Derek Carr. He looks to be playing better right now and a better quarterback at this particular point. And I would say this. If the 49ers are able to take this draft and come out of it really healthy and do some really good things, their front office has shown the ability
absolutely
to do better things at this particular time, I would say, because coming back, I would have thought that Reggie McKenzie, they would have looked at the defense and they would have shored that up. I think the firing of the offensive coordinator, mid through the season defensive coordinator, there's a bit of dysfunction when I look at that. So I would lean more towards the 49ers, Grant.
Yeah, I can't say I disagree with that. And the reason why I think that a lot of people would go in that direction is Jimmy Garoppolo looks like the real deal.
Yeah.
And if you're going to go by the recent body of work, which consists of 14 games because Derek Carr missed the game against Baltimore, Jimmy Garoppolo looks like the better quarterback with a better future. Now, again, I say this with an asterisk. If Derek Carr comes out on Monday,
right,
and they acknowledge the fact that he's been playing hurt, then to me, I would say, okay, that explains it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Now, you're going to have to come back and you're going to have to do some big things because Garoppolo looks like if you give him better players, he'll probably even play better.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. All right, we'll take the break. Doug and I will be right back to Golden One Center on Sports 1140. All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, getting ready for the Kings and the Cavaliers. First round bye with a win or a Panthers loss, a Saints win, a Rams win, so they can do that. The Saints can clinch the NFC South with a win. Panthers loss. Panthers can clinch the win, and the Saints lose. So the Falcons can get into the playoffs if they win this week at home against Carolina. And then your Seahawks, your Seahawks can clinch a playoff berth with a win and a Falcons loss or tie.
So I will say that we will make the playoffs if the Falcons lose, because I have a feeling that we should be able to win. Those Falcons in the Carolina, that's going to be interesting, Greg, because how does Carolina play that game? That is going to be the key. The Falcons hold their fate in their own hands. I think that they think if they make the playoffs, they'll kind of get that mojo back and get to play in the way that we saw them play last year.
And, the Chargers, they can clinch a playoff berth with a win. Forget the ties. I'm not mentioning the ties. A Chargers win plus a Titans loss, or a plus a Bills loss. So they need the Titans to lose and the Bills to lose.
Yeah, man. You know what? These are those games, Grant. You remember we always talk about that game in November, that game in December.
Yep.
You know, speaking basketball-wise, but it's those games where you had the ability and you blew it. You missed your opportunity.
And they can get in if the Titans lose – and the Ravens win, they can get in. So you know, again, here's the deal. You're first and foremost, you got to have the Titans lose.
Yes, that's the first thing that needs to happen, and that's a strong possibility because they haven't played some of their best football.
Nope.
So is that possible? Yes, it is.
All right. Speaking of Seattle, you know, it's interesting. You talk about a team that had their worst loss under Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
And then they go on the road and they find a way to win. That's just Seattle Seahawks football. They just find a way to do it.
You know, I will give them credit because a lot of times, Grant, you'll see teams as they get a little long in the tooth, and that's what's happening in Seattle. And then they fold up the tent. This is a team that is proud. They have a Super Bowl lineage. They, you know, obviously lost to the Patriots the last play of the game. But even coming back from that, there are rumblings and different things, but they went out there and they did their job. To come back and get that W, I thought was impressive by them. Can they make the playoffs? You said, yeah, there is a possibility. I'm not sure how far I will go with that because I think Atlanta understands what's in front of them and not sure what Carolina will play.
How about Dak Prescott and his comment about Dez Bryant saying, you know, maybe I need to just throw the ball right in front of his face mask so he doesn't drop it. And Dez Bryant's just had an awful season. He really has.
You
awful.
Know, Grant, I think I read 22 games that he hasn't had a 100-yard game. It might have been 12. But to be an elite receiver the way that, you know, he is and he has been, 100 yards would seem like something that he would do. But think about, I can remember Magic Johnson saying, look, man, if you missed that, I'm not passing it back to you. It's not coming your way. You're going to have to earn it again. So, you know.
I love that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if I'm, because the turnover goes to the passer, right? So if you leave me out there, but yeah, maybe hit him in the face mask, he catches it. I understand. But you know what? How about when Dak came into this last year and he said, Grant, are you going to force, I can't remember how it was put. Are you going to force him the ball or whatever? He said, I'm gonna pass it to him if he's open. And I went, whoa,
yeah, how about
a rookie
that?
How about that?
Yep.
But it seemed to work. Maybe this is the type of little love that Dez needs to find his mojo again.
Yeah, you look at the Cowboys along with the Giants in the NFC and the Raiders in the AFC. I think that you could put those at the very top of the list for most disappointing, underachieving teams in the National Football League. You know, most people had both the Cowboys and the Giants making the playoffs. Most people had the Raiders making the playoffs. And again, I say this in the Raiders' case, they didn't make the playoffs because of injuries. They didn't make the playoffs because they just played poorly. They can't blame it on injuries.
They absolutely cannot. This is a team that under-delivered. You fired people.
Yep.
You hired new ones. That didn't seem to work out. And pretty soon, Grant, the spotlight is going to come down on Del Rio. It absolutely is because you got rid of your offensive coordinator, you got rid of your defensive coordinator. Now that last spot is going to be looking at the coach. Do I think that his job is in jeopardy? I think they bring him back next year. I think that, but you don't look at it to yourself, oh, you know, they were injured. That's why they weren't playing that well.
Isaiah Thomas on the floor for the Cavaliers to our right, getting his shots up.
It's looking good.
Man, yeah,
I mean, they're going in like we've seen them go in the past. He's looking healthy. I like the way that he's moving, landing, jumping, no hitching the giddy up. So happy to see that for him.
Yeah, it is great to have him out on the floor. Speaking of football, Lincoln Kennedy is going to be coming up with us at 4:30, and then and the Landry Football Report. That's going to be coming your way at 5 o'clock. So we've got a lot of things to talk about, a lot of and again, isn't it interesting that the NFL, because of the way the playoff scenarios were, canceled Sunday Night Football for this week, huh? No Sunday Night Football.
That is kind of scary, right?
Yeah.
It's different. I mean, you know what? You and I, you're losing Thursday Night Football. Things are starting to go away as you come down and you wind down the season in football, man. It's been a fun season, but I think it's just picking up as these playoffs get ready to start, Grant.
Yeah, no question. It is, you know, before you know it, we are going to be talking playoff football, and that, you know, with New England with home field advantage, if they're able to, I mean, I don't see them losing. I really don't. And the NFC, meanwhile, I could see all six of the playoff teams making it to the NFC Championship game and advancing. And I'll tell you, if I'm a fan of the Eagles, there's nothing that I've seen in the last 2 weeks that would make me say to myself, oh, the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl.
Listen, I will even go the other way, Grant. It's a little alarming that they weren't able to do the type of things that I were thinking that they were going to be able to do. You know, backup quarterbacks, they seen it last year here when Derek Carr went down. You better have somebody behind that is able to deliver. Carson Wentz was playing MVP caliber football. And you can say what you want, but they aren't the same team right now.
All right. When we come back, we will talk Raider football with Lincoln Kennedy. That's coming up next. So keep it right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. All right. We are back with you here on Sports 1140 KHTK, and it's time to talk some Raider football with Lincoln Kennedy. Link, one more game, man. And I guess, you know, I would think the feeling is, thank goodness for that. It's just been one of those seasons that you want to forget.
Oh, you ain't never lied about that. happy holidays to you guys.
Same to you, buddy.
Yes. It is one of those things where it's you want to put it behind you, especially after, you know, freezing my Johnsons off over there in Philadelphia this past weekend. So.
You know, Link, when you look at what has been done coaching-wise, obviously I think Del Rio will be back. Offensive coordinator goes, defensive coordinator goes. Say you bring him back immediately. Is there a hot seat for next year?
I would think with this roster, there will probably be a hot seat next year. Look, they're set up when you – what was the record? Nate, what was the record 2 years ago? No, 12-4 last year. What was the record the year before? Was it like 7-9 or 9? I can't remember what it was 2 years ago. But they were headed in the right direction. So you saw sort of an incline. Now, I think it's fair to agree, safe to say that no one expected them to go 12-4 last year.
Right.
But they ended up with that record. So now you talk about this year and how the disappointment was. Well, I can, you know, everybody wants to know why. There's a number of reasons why. A lot of it had to do with execution. A lot of it had to do with coaching. So there's going to be plenty of changes on the horizon. I think what this team needs to evaluate and then the organization needs to evaluate, you've got your main focal points. Amari Cooper's not going anywhere. Derek Carr's not going anywhere. Khalil Mack's not going anywhere. But you've got other pieces around that you got to have. Now, this year, this team, you know, went in there and drafted, you know, some defensive backs in the first and second picks, and they didn't play. That puts you behind the eight ball.
Yeah,
right.
You got to have, when you use your draft and you're building from a foundation, you got to have the players that you expected to be there, because there's no other alternative. And so they were dealing with a lot of injuries as well. But it comes down to execution. I think this team needs to go out and draft the right tackle. Or you put, you know, David Sharp of Vidal Alexander. You got to see what you have with the young guys, with the future of them. I mean, but these are things that have to be addressed. So everyone is on the hot seat, my point.
Link, you remember, I mean, you were on so many good teams here in Oakland, but you were on teams where you knew that, you know, the last week of the season was the last game. Can you talk about, from a player's perspective, getting through that game and getting ready to play? And the Chargers could very well be playing for a playoff spot, and it's a divisional game.
I would like to see this team play some inspired football. I don't remember every year, Nate, as, you know, there were times we had some good years where we went to playoffs, and I don't remember how we were when we weren't going to playoffs. We had the opportunity to knock somebody off. But, you know, to me, just from the outside looking in, I think this team played well enough overall. Defense played well enough last week to beat Philadelphia, which would have really been something.
Yep.
If they could have, you know, if they could have been national TV and beat them, that would have really been something. San Diego's a little different animal, a little different monster, still a good team. But my reason why I say that is I'm hoping that they go down and inspire, play some inspirational football on New Year's Eve and probably deny the Chargers from going to the playoffs.
You know, Link, has Derek Carr lost confidence in his receivers? Does that come into play with the play and the relationship that we've seen with them dropping balls and different things, or is this outside of that realm?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Derek Carr. I really don't. I don't. He's regressed. His play, you can see his play has regressed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's injured. I don't know if it's mental. I don't know what it is, but he's regressed. And I don't know. I can't say why the blank. Now, I think from a quarterback standpoint, I would be very frustrated if I threw the ball and guys are dropping balls left and right, especially when you're trying to keep drives going. But there was times like in this past game where, you know, Derek didn't have a good ball. He didn't have a good ball. He threw a couple air passes, and a couple of them were picked off.
Yeah.
Most notably at the end of the game, the slant route. You can't throw that. You have to make sure the receiver is open. You have a corner who's playing inside technique. You can't throw. Either the receiver has to do a better job of getting across his face, but the receiver has to win the situation. You can't trust that that's going to happen all the time, especially when the game's on the line.
Yeah. You know, I hope, before you came on, I told Doug, I hope that on Monday he comes out and says he is injured, because, you know, the mental part of it, which I'm with you on that, that's alarming to me. If we find out that he's been playing hurt and it's documented, then I'm saying to myself, okay, you know what? All right, that happens. He gutted it out. Give him credit. Everything could be a lot better next year. But the mental part of it, if that is true, and I'm not saying it is, you know this team better than I do, that's a little bit disconcerting.
Cool.
Well, it is. It is, because how do you can't correct the mental. Why are you in this little funk?
Right.
You think about it. If you think about
can I check the mics? I'm just talking on the engineer headset. Cool. Stand by.
If you think about this entire year, guys, we take into consideration what everything that happened off the field.
All right, this is mic one. Check.
And I'm hearing distortion. You guys got someone else in here?
No. We have had a couple of problems with the line. Is it okay? Are you hearing it? Are you okay now?
I'm hearing somebody saying check down the line. Somebody's got it. But my point is, I'll finish my point.
Yeah.
There has been so many things that have happened off the field and on the field with this team and surrounding the players in the National Football League. It's a little hard to pinpoint what exactly messed with somebody mentally. And more importantly, if it is the injury, then, you know, well, where do you go from it? How do we get the confidence back? Because this is going to be a player that they're going to rely on for the next decade.
Yeah. You know, Link, when you look at what they need, you mentioned a couple things. And looking offensively, obviously they regressed. Not only did Derek Carr regress, but the offense regressed. If you have that ability to say, okay, I have a couple needs here, when you look at it, what do you say it is on the offensive side of the football?
I still think I thought Jared Cook was a nice addition, but you know, you're going to have a slot receiver that plays a little bit more consistently than Seth Roberts does.
Okay.
I think you're going to have to address the offensive line, because the offensive line, as far as the ends are concerned, mm-hmm. David Sharp played pretty well this last game, and actually surprisingly well, because I didn't think he was ready. But, of course, obviously Mike Tyson knows this offensive line better than I do. David Sharp played well. Marshall Newhouse is not. You got to figure out whether or not you're going to put Badal Alexander in that right tackle if he's ready to go, or you got to do something at the right tackle position, because Marshall Newhouse is not the answer. You also got to figure out your big back. As much as I love Marshawn Lynch,
that's what I was asking. Okay,
he brings an added thing to the locker room. I don't necessarily know if that's cohesive or that's in the sense that the distractions, the things that have happened this season. He is who he is. That's his personality. He's not going to change. Don't know if it's conducive to this team. I don't know that. But I like Marshawn Lynch's running style. But they got to have a big back. Because the sad truth about it, for whatever reason, this offensive line did not block the same for Jalen Richard or DeAndre Washington that they blocked for Marshawn Lynch.
Wow.
And that's why there was not as equal amount of production by the running back committee.
Well, I know one thing. You don't need a kicker.
Oh, my God.
You just had to get it in.
I had to. Link, I'm sorry, God, man. Come on. Don't be mad at me, man.
And I could have told you that Marshall Newhouse was not the answer, because, you know, the Giants, who have a very subpar offensive line, let him go. So that tells you all you need to know. Link, it's always great talking to you, buddy. We won't see you, or we won't talk to you before the new year. So happy new year. And
yes.
You're the best, man. Thanks.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Happy New Year to all your listeners, and you guys be safe out there, all right?
Thank you.
Appreciate you, man.
I'll talk to you later.
You know, when you hear, you know, him say mental with Derek Carr? Like he's just saying could be. If it's not injured, that's a little bit of alarming for at this juncture of his career.
No doubt, Grant, because
– And he looks like he's mixed up. He doesn't look confident.
I agree. That's why I said, like, do you lose confidence? Because one thing I will say, it looks – and I haven't played the quarterback, but I played point guard out here on the floor. And when you're running your team, Grant, you got to know everything, and you can't be thinking, and it has to come second nature. And it just looks to me, watching him, he's regressed. And, Link said as much.
All right, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, if you want to get in on the program, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. So I'll ask you, Raider fans, where are you at with Derek Carr right now? I mean, again, if I take you back just a couple of months ago, the Raiders were a team that was ascending, or at least we thought they were, and Derek Carr was a guy that people were talking about could be in an MVP race back in week one, all right? And now it's like, what's wrong with Derek Carr?
Yeah, I agree. You talk about it all started, I mean, not all started, but obviously with the firing of the offensive coordinator. But then you talk about Donald Penn being out, and that offensive line didn't have that cohesiveness right off the bat. And you added a new back and Marshawn Lynch. There were a lot of different things. But, Grant, that's where I say a guy that is – the kilt of a Derek Carr, he has to grab the team and be that leader in all aspects, and that's what I think was probably most deficient, was him having the ability to lead and guide this team.
All right. Again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. Don't forget, we're going to have more football talk coming up at 5 with Chris Landry. We'll get his take on what he sees with Derek Carr. The Landry Football Report, that's coming up at 5 o'clock. Of course, game night at 5:30. Isaiah Thomas still going through a full workout. He looks fine to me.
He looks absolutely fine. I like the fact that, Grant, they're getting a little rough out there, putting some pressure on him, touching him, and he is responding. And when you know when he's at that next level, Grant, is because I'm watching him hit 4, 5, 6 in a row. And when you get to that level, man, woo.
Yep. All right, tell you what we'll do. We will take the break. No, we won't take the break. I didn't hear you, Matt. What'd you say? Oh, let's get to some phone calls. All right, my bad. We won't take the break. We'll get to Paymon. Hello, Paymon.
Hi, Grant and Doug. How's it going?
What's happening?
That was a great conversation you guys had with Lincoln Kennedy. And just looking at the way Derek Carr has played since his back injury, you know, to me, and I'm a diehard Raider fan, it really looks like he won't admit it, but it looks like he's, you know, playing scared. He's got happy feet in the pocket. He throws checkdowns and, you know, screen passes all the time, and especially in really weird situations. Like, you know, you're trying to get downfield, you're going to, you know, into halftime, and then he's still throwing, you know, 3-yard dump offs. Or even that last sequence at the end of the Eagles game was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you have 27 seconds to go. You throw 2 dump off passes. On third down, you just run around, and then you throw the ball out of bounds. And then on fourth down, I mean, you just throw another 10-yard pass and you hope that the lateral, you know, works. So the only time that I felt after he broke those bones in his back that he actually didn't play scared was against the Cowboys. I mean, I don't fault him at all for going for that touchdown at the end. That was the Derek Carr from last year, the aggressiveness. You know, he was, running for first downs when he thought the opportunity presented itself. One last point. So in some of his press conferences, too, when they ask him why he's not throwing the ball downfield, he says, well, the defense didn't give us that. You know, guys weren't open, blah, blah, blah. Well, I think if you're a good quarterback in this league, you're going to find a way to make that deep throw. I mean, that's just an excuse. So something's wrong. He's playing scared. That's just what it looks like to me. That's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Well, I'll tell you, there, and again, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but if it is, there's nothing worse you can say about an NFL player than he's playing scared.
No doubt. I will say this, to Paymon's credit, the inability, Grant, to find that deep ball has been something that's been a problem. That has been something that the Raiders did last year. There was a level of aggressiveness on the offensive side of the football that isn't there like it was last year.
All right, let's get to Duncan. Duncan, you're next. Hello, Duncan.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Duncan?
I can't believe that no one has brought up the comparison between what's going on with Carr and what went on with Kaepernick. Kaepernick lit it up. Nobody could stop him. Then the defenses started figuring that out. And then he got injured, and he didn't have that, breakaway speed. Talk about happy feet. Like you just mentioned, Doug, the caller probably just mentioned it, but I think the same thing is happening to him. He doesn't have the confidence.
Yeah, but the big difference with Kaepernick, when Kaepernick was succeeding, he had arguably the very best offensive line of football. And towards the end of his tenure with the 49ers, they had one of the worst offensive lines in football. And so, you know, you have to take that into consideration.
And a different coach at the same time. I thought
that
Harbaugh really pumped him up and led him.
He got sacked like 55 times, I think, his last full season, which was...
Yeah, they had a horrible offensive line.
But the Raiders are supposed to have an offensive line, aren't they?
Supposed to, though. Supposed to and have is two different things because
that
offensive line was collapsing like a folding chair in the beginning. They started getting a little better, but not to the level that they were last year. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm a diehard Niner fan, so I don't want to see the Raiders do poorly. I don't want to see them leave. I think that's pretty ridiculous, but it's going to happen.
So. Yeah. No, it's happening.
Yeah, it is.
All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Here's what I do know, and I think that, you know, I'm not, you know, unveiling something that people don't already know, but if Derek Carr does not return to the Derek Carr of last year, the Raiders aren't going to be good for a long time.
Oh, come on. I'm telling you, because part of it was his aggressiveness, but I think that Crabtree and Cooper and all that dynamic, part of it was him. Part of it was his running and doing certain things. And then the offensive line. I would agree with you, Grant. By him starting to ascend, they started to ascend.
Right.
Because that aggressiveness that Del Rio gave him, he delivered on. This year, not so much.
No, not so much at all. So, again, if you're a fan of the Raiders, your take on the outlook for this franchise now, forget about Oakland, Vegas. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about productivity on the field. Mm-hmm. How concerned are you as a Raider fan? And then conversely, if you're a 49er fan, you went from out and just like down and out, like, oh, my gosh, and now your team has great life, and you have a quarterback that looks like he is the real deal. And now all of a sudden, look at the renewed optimism in that franchise heading into this offseason.
Well, Grant, you just look at the NFC West and you okay, my Seahawks, could they reload? Yeah, they could because you got Russell Wilson.
They have a quarterback, right.
But
their defense is completely
different. Exactly, it's totally different. So maybe they drop a peg. Maybe they reload and go up a peg. But the Rams, so you got a chance to be relevant quickly.
I meant to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the reaction is in that Seahawks locker room when Thomas –
goes
and tells Jason Garrett, hey, you know what, come get me. You know what I mean? How bad is that, Doug?
It doesn't get any. I mean, as a teammate, Grant, I mean, I'm lining up. I got your back. We're going together. We're crying together. We're bleeding together. And then you're like.
You want to leave?
I want to leave? You couldn't say. My point is, I'm not mad that you want to leave. I'm a little upset, but I'm not mad that you want to leave. It's how you did it.
Right,
now. What are you doing now?
We just won a game to keep us alive in the playoffs.
And you're running over to their locker room. Man, to hell with them. That's what I say. So I would. But that locker room, I will say this, is different than anything I've ever seen.
I know. It is different, but still.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. All right. Who we got, Matt? William, you're on with Grant and Doug. Hey, William.
Hey. First, bench Earl Thomas, but Carroll has no control of that and he's in trouble. And then for the Raiders, you can't talk that way and play on my team. If I was coach, you're getting benched. You can't. He tried to backpedal out of that comment, please. Really?
You know, football is different, man. It's about you get out there and you do it. It's weird that way. I understand what you're saying. Like, you know, I have a problem with that too, but it's different.
It's a team sport. Can't say stuff like that. I mean,
listen, it's a bad look. There's no doubt about it.
I'm not going to backpedal either. It's tough.
But with the Raiders, the number one problem is Musgrave. They let him go. That was the worst mistake they could make because they were excelling on offense, and now they're having issues, and I think you can tie that to Musgrave. The other thing is eventually Del Rio's got to go. The defensive coach, and they always have problems when it comes to getting over the hill of making the offense move. And they changed a lot of their offense because of Marshawn Lynch, which was a mistake. Because he's not the guy that's going to get you to the playoffs. You've got to start with the quarterback. And until they figure that out, they should have never got rid of their offensive coordinator. Big, huge mistake. Because I think Carr has the tools. He needs the right coach.
Well, I will say this. If I go from, what were they, 7-9 to 13-3. I'm going to stick with that and just see where it goes before I make a big overhaul type of change. That's just me. And obviously the change, something didn't work, because right now they might have the same record as the 49ers. The 49ers started out 0-6, Grant.
Good. Yeah, and the 49ers
have the same record, because the Niners are going to win easily, and the Raiders are no way going to beat the Chargers who have to win.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. Which that is if you took all of that and put it together, Grant, say that they're going to have the same record, you're going to be looking at Garoppolo as better than Carr and all these different things. People at the beginning, they would have said we were crazy.
All right, let's get to Kirk. Thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. Thank you. Kirk, you're next here on Sports 1140.
What's up, Grant? How's it going?
Good, Kirk.
Good. First off, I just want to say, Doug, huge fan of your game. Growing up, I kind of played after you. But on
Thank
the whole
you.
Raiders talk, first comment is I'm truly, you know, a diehard Raider fan. Derek Carr is definitely hurt. You know, you watch some of the deep balls back in, back from 2016, 2016, and, you know, he's swinging the rock, you know, to Cooper, Crabtree. Now, you know, he gets one or two shots a game, and he's just floating the ball in the air.
Right.
And the other thing is
well, if that's the case, he shouldn't have been playing, in my opinion.
Exactly. I mean, I thought after they lost to Kansas City, he should not have played, you know, just giving up on the season, just being honest. But another thing is, you know, if you watch last season's games and, you know, 12-4 into this year, Carr bailed out the defense 24-7.
Yes, he did.
You have those games against Baltimore, San Diego, where he's throwing that last-second touchdown, making up defense, you know?
Yep.
So, I think, you know, if he's hurt, they need to come out and say it. And, I mean, there's a lot of issues for the Raiders. You know, you got to make a few better draft picks than last year. You know, you have two guys that didn't even play. And so it's kind of tough, but I appreciate the call. Take care, guys.
Yeah, and they better, if he is hurt, they better handle that the right way, because it better not come out as an excuse. There better be good reason. And here's the other deal. If he really was hurt, and again, I'm only saying that, if he really was hurt and his lack of productivity was because of that, I put that on the head coach. Did Derek Carr then, does he give you the best chance to win if he's playing like that, hurt? And my answer to that question would be, I don't think so.
Well, we've talked about this many times, Grant, and you've said that to me, is with football, who gives you the best
That's
chance
right.
to win? No doubt, and you're right. So now we come back to Del Rio again. That's a bad judgment right there. That's a judgment call.
Yep.
You're the coach, and you can't.
No question.
No doubt.
Stan, you're on with Grant and Doug.
Hey, Grant.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Grant. Prior to Garoppolo coming over to the Niners, everything you heard about the fullbacks, the tight ends, and the wide receiver core, that they were just all bad. They just were not very, very good. And then Garoppolo comes over, and they look completely different. So I don't what do you think? What do you think?
Well, I think your running game is always going to look better. First of all, as far as running game, your running game is always going to look better when you have a quarterback that can throw, because play action then becomes, you know, something that you have to, you know, honor. But as far as the wide receivers and their lack of productivity until Garoppolo got there, now all of a sudden they're very productive. That's a great question, because it is the same personnel with the exception of a quarterback. I mean, does a quarterback make that big of a difference? I mean, I guess the 49ers are an illustration of, yeah, it really does make a big difference. Yeah,
absolutely. It doesn't matter. I mean, you related to basketball, Magic Johnson is a guy that comes to mind with the ability, or even LeBron James, the ability to lead a team and put guys in the right positions, deliver the ball, give them confidence. There are a lot of different things to go into living and leading a team, and I will tell you, Garoppolo looks to be the real deal right now.
All right, thanks very much for the phone call. Hey, also, don't forget that we're going to talk a lot more football when we come back, because Chris Landry from the Landry Football Report is going to join us, and we'll talk to him about Carr, we'll talk to him about Garoppolo, we'll talk to him about who he thinks is in the driver's seat with some of these, you know, playoff scenarios that are going to be unfolding on Sunday. We'll do that when we come back right here on Sports 1140.